Perhaps it is that first time that Ruth returns from gleaning in the fields with seed, with barley, a sign of new life. Perhaps it is this jolt of hope that stirs something within her. Maybe it only takes a little bit of good news, just a shard of courage to believe that something is possible, to take a risk. Whatever it is, a switch within Naomi is thrown in chapter 3 of Ruth. Over the past few weeks that we've been traveling with Naomi and Ruth over the strange and foreign land of grief and despair, we saw these women bind themselves together, vowing to make what they could of life in this patriarchal world. And last week we saw them surviving day to day off gleaned food. But then, Naomi comes up with a plan. "My daughter, shall I not seek for you a resting place?" the older woman says to the younger. Naomi's plan for stability for Ruth involves a shocking act of risk and vulnerability, one that may challenge some of our preconceived notions of prudence and morality. Here is what Ruth, the only woman of marrying age between the two of them, is to do. Ruth is to get washed and anointed, put on her best outfit, and head down to the threshing floor. Hold on a minute. If you were an ancient reader of this story, heard it around a campfire, had it whispered to you by the young women of the town, your eyes would get a little wider as we approach this part of the story. Threshing floors were not exactly the place we associate with good, upright living in ancient towns. The threshing floor was located just outside the city wall, out of sight, usually on a hill, so that the chaff, the stuff left over from threshing, could blow away. It was the place where the men would hang out after a long day of work and an even longer night of drinking. And it was the place where sexual morals were a little more lax. You can reference the prophet Hosea for some rather harsh judgment about the business that goes on at night on threshing floors. And that is where Naomi directs Ruth to go in the middle of the night. But things are about to get even more interesting. Naomi then instructs Ruth to find Boaz after everyone has passed out, probably from drinking too much, and then Ruth is to uncover the place of his feet, his regalim. Our very pious translation of this text today does not reveal that this word is probably better translated lower parts and is often a reference to the male anatomy in the Hebrew Bible. I want to have this be the last time I say the words male anatomy in a sermon. And then Ruth is to lie down, and he will tell you what to do. We'll see this verb for lying down, shakav, a lot in this chapter, 6 times. And in the rest of the Hebrew Bible, it's not far off of a euphemism that we use in English, to sleep with. There's a lot of hinting about what happens, much left to mystery in the imagination, but I suspect these details are provided, these nudges given to remind us that this was an incredibly forward move on the part of Ruth, one that required a substantial amount of risk, pushing boundaries, and with an incredible belief in the integrity of Boaz. Never was the phrase, "desperate times call for desperate measures," more accurately applied. Because last week we talked about how the only work available to Ruth, the only way to sustain her and Naomi, is gleaning. It was just enough to get by. But the season of harvest would eventually end. And with it, gleaning would end. And then the source of food would end. And what would happen to these women with no male protection, no source of income, and nothing to eat? Perhaps it was this impending disaster that brought this bold plan to Naomi's mind. Whatever it was, she comes up with a radical solution to their problem, to find a permanent security through marriage to the wealthy older kinsman named Boaz. And Ruth goes for it. Everything you say, I will do. The only other time we hear this phrase in the Hebrew Bible is when people say yes to the commands of God. With stealth and quickness, Ruth executes the plan. Boaz eats and drinks his fill and falls into this heavy sleep. Ruth sneaks in, uncovers the feet, and lies down. In the middle of the night, Boaz wakes with a start. And here, we read, is a woman lying at the place of his feet. That would be surprising, wouldn't it? And this is where Ruth goes off script. Do you remember what she was told to do by Naomi? She's supposed to wait for him to tell her what to do, for him to take initiative. But that's not what happens. Instead, Boaz asked a question. Who is this? And the woman lying at his naked lower parts says her name. And then she asks for something. This is the first time Ruth's name has been said aloud by any character in this book. She's been called a lot of things besides her name over the previous two chapters, always putting her in a relation to another, a worker girl, a Moabite, my daughter, servant woman. Just as something has changed in Naomi, something now changes for Ruth. She calls herself by a household name. She says her name, and she says what she needs. Spread your wing over me, she tells Boaz, for you are a redeemer. Literally, what she means is for him to throw his cloak over her, to cover them both up for the night with his clothing like a blanket. But it means something else, too. It's a marriage proposal. It's the social and economic protections of marriage. And it's the same metaphor we heard last week when Boaz asked God's protection for Ruth, asking that God would cover Ruth with God's wing. In this moment, Ruth risks everything that she has left, and it's not very much. Her reputation and her dignity. I don't like to think of what would have happened if Boaz decided to tell the crowds of men around him, or if he took sexual advantage of Ruth in this moment away out of sight. This was courage in the most vulnerable and frightening way that I can imagine. But God is there. Boaz lives up to his reputation of a man of covenant love for God. He praises Ruth, promising to work out the details in the morning and to give her food. And in the morning, he sends her back before anyone can tell that she's there. And I love what happens next. Ruth shows up to Naomi carrying 100 pounds of barley. And in the morning light, Naomi looks at her and says, "Who are you, my daughter?" This is the second time in this chapter this question has been asked of Ruth. Who are you? It's not that Naomi doesn't know that this is Ruth. She calls her daughter. But something about this young Moabite woman has changed. Ruth doesn't wait around for luck to befall her. Her pursuit of goodness and stability for herself and Naomi is called chesed, loving kindness, the kind of covenantal love we see God offer to Israel over and over again. To be remade by courage, to pull out from within the deep well of loss something of yourself, to push the boundaries to their limits for justice, to say your own name. This is the story of covenant love in Ruth. Who are you? The story asks. And the answer returns to us. I am Ruth. Amen.